Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS, fitness, and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS warrior trainer and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 10. Today's special guest is an MS warrior, and to put it simply, he's a beast. He competed on the Netflix show Ultimate Beastmaster and was the last American standing in the competition finals. Both he and his wife, Heidi, are certified fitness instructors and have a passion for competition. Whether it's triathlons, the Warrior Dashes, CrossFit competitions, or Ultimate Frisbee tournaments, they're always finding ways to push their limits. Our guest today believes that he was created to compete and is the executive of Crew City, South Florida, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ. The MS Fitness Challenge Podcast would like to introduce James Drake to the show. It's an honor to have you on the show today, James.
And thank you so much, Stephen. I am fired up to be here after hearing that introduction. I know it, man. And so grateful for the chance to be with you today.
Yeah. Well, before we get into your story and how you've been able to thrive in spite of MS, I want to share quickly the story of how I found out about you. Is that all right?
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter, much like you, she's all about competition and she loves watching the show American Ninja Warrior. So the one day she found the Ultimate Beastmaster show on Netflix and started watching. I was in the kitchen. All of a sudden from the dining room, I hear a shout say, "Daddy, Daddy, come here. This guy is MS just like you." So, you know, naturally, wow. I'm curious and I run over to see what she's talking about. And I rewind the show to the part where I get to see and hear your story. And I got to be honest with you, I came away totally inspired about how you were able to muster the strength and courage to take on that beast and compete at a high level. So, fast forward, I decided to reach out to you via LinkedIn. A couple months later, here we are. I'm getting to talk to you on this podcast. And I got to say, it's truly an immense blessing. I just want to thank you so much.
And thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. I'm so grateful that I've had the chance to compete on Netflix Ultimate Beastmaster and really be as fortunate to do so well as I did. It's provided me an amazing opportunity to share my story and inspire a few others along the journey. I've literally had thousands of people from around the world reach out to me. And if I can do anything to help them overcome whatever challenge they're facing, I feel like that's one of my major purposes in life. So thank you for having me today.
Definitely. So I got to ask, have you always been wired to compete or did your passion for fitness come to you later on in life?
That's a great question. I have always been wired to compete. And I thought I would grow out of it, right? Because, you know, I have four kids right now and I see them. They're very competitive. They hate to lose. It doesn't matter what it is, who can take the quickest shower, who can eat their food the fastest, or a board game. It does not matter. They hate to lose. And so I have to try and help them become good sports and all that sort of stuff. But I realized it's the same way for me. And I thought, you know, eventually I'd grow out of it because it was just maybe a kid thing. But I took a personality profile. You know what my number one strength was when it came back?
What's that?
Competition.
There you go. That says it all, I guess.
I don't know what kind of strength that is, to be honest. But I'm grateful for the way God wired me. And anytime I do have a chance to compete, I try to present the very best version of myself. I try to train hard for whatever it is I'm going to face. And things like Ultimate Beastmaster are fun because they punish the specialist. So you're telling me a little bit about your triathlon. Triathlons are really specialized. You got to have good equipment, good fitness. You practice the links that you're going to compete in. And where I found my specialty with competition is where I face the unexpected and I have to innovate, adapt, and overcome. And so it's been fun to find competitions like Beastmaster and other things more recently, whether it's through CrossFit or whatnot, that have provided me an opportunity to compete. And do so in the strengths that I do well in, which is facing the unknown.
Yeah, it really sounds like you're all about pushing those limits and just seeing what you're really capable of. And I love that mentality. That's awesome.
Thank you.
When did you start to realize, we're going to get into your MS diagnosis story here, but when did you start to realize that your body just wasn't right, wasn't firing on all cylinders? Did it take a while for you to finally get that diagnosis of MS?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was a bit of an anomaly because I'm 39 right now.
Yeah.
And I guess it was right around my 30s. So 29, 30, I had some symptoms that were going on. And for example, my legs were going numb. Like when you go to the dentist and you get lidocaine in your mouth, and all of a sudden your cheeks feel numb. You can tell you can tell your face is still there, but you just can't. And you can move it a little bit, but it just feels numb. It's a little dull. My legs started feeling that way. And I said, man, this is weird. What is going on? I could use them. They didn't feel weak to me at the time, but they were just starting to go numb. And so I thought it was an old nagging college football injury. I played running back, so I took one too many hits.
I can imagine.
Long story short, I ended up at a orthopedic specialist, and they took some x-rays of my spine, and they just happened to get an MRI of my lower and thoracic spine, and that's where they saw some inflammation, some lesions on the thoracic spine. And they said, that's weird. It doesn't look like it would be from an inflammation. You know, my bottom two discs were not looking so great, but that was clearly from traumatic injury. And so that kind of led us down the journey of where are these lesions coming from and what's causing them. And that led me to get some blood work done, which came back pretty good. But then one of the guys said, you know what, we just want to cover this base, but I'm going to send you to a neurologist. I don't want to scare you, but in case it is something autoimmune related, he'll be able to diagnose this. So they sent me off. I saw this guy. He said, listen, I've got your MRIs here. I've got your blood work. What I'd like to do is get a spinal tap. And so they pulled some of my spinal fluid, and they found an oligoclonal protein band that like 95% of MS patients do. And so that's where my journey began with autoimmune and starting to see some specialists to try and figure out what in the world is going on.
Yeah, your story sounds like mine. It sounds like a lot of people with MS, and that's the question everybody's asking. You know, what on earth is happening? Yeah. And it's a story that a lot of people with MS can relate to. So what were your initial thoughts and emotions then at the time of your diagnosis when you finally get told you have MS? How long did it take for you to rebound from that shock of getting diagnosed with MS?
I don't know if I have rebounded, to be honest. It just takes the breath out of your lungs. I don't know how else to say it. I remember sitting there, and it was in that – this was – anyways, I remember sitting in the Mayo Clinic. And I was there with my wife, and it was just a regular sterile, cold, pretty bland hospital room. And the doctor walks back in. He's like, "I'm afraid to tell you that you have the first signs of MS." And he paused because he knew that was a pretty heavy diagnosis to give somebody. Right. And my wife just kind of grabbed my hand because at that point we had started reading about what MS is. A gentleman on my staff team, his mother had MS. And, he ended up having to be a primary caregiver for her throughout high school. And so I just seen like how difficult it was for his family and financially as well. It just about bankrupted their father, to try and care adequately for his wife. And so I just thought about, I think that sat heavy with me as well. It's like, am I going to become a burden to my family, and instead of providing for them and raising my kids, teaching them to ride a bike, walking my wife down the beach, holding her hand into old age, are they going to be pushing me around in a wheelchair? Am I just going to be a major burden to them? It was a terrible day. I don't know how else to describe it. And I was just sad. I felt sorry for myself. I felt sorry for my family. I think I don't know. I don't think there was anger at the time, but there was just, I think, just sadness. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
There's nothing in me that wanted that disease. I couldn't believe I had it. It's a day I don't ever want to go back and relive, to be honest. But I will say, in the midst of that, good has come from all that, but not in that moment. It was just,
yeah, it's hard to see any positive when you get that sort of news. It's really difficult. So at what point did that attitude of yours, that mentality, at what point were you inspired to seek a way to get past that, and especially get inspired to take on something as crazy as like the ultimate Beastmaster show?
That's a great question, Steven. And it wasn't too long of a journey getting back into competition. In short, I'll just kind of summarize it for you. But after the shock had kind of set in and I had to figure out what I was going to do. I've always been a man of action. I'm not a deep thinker. I did fine in school. I've done fine in grad school. But I'm not the kind of guy that sits around and pontificates all day and reads books. I really am a man of action. So when I knew that I had a problem my first impulse and just instinct naturally was, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to solve this? And you realize at that point, so much is out of your hands. Like you can't just fix this and you can't solve it. But those are my initial responses. And so I realized that although I couldn't control a lot, there was a few things I could do. And so I wanted to do those. And here's what really exacerbated that desire of mine.
Yeah.
I went in to see some specialists, you know, because by the time you get in to see a neurologist, apparently there must be a shortage of them because it takes months to get in to see a good
right.
And then once you see them, you know, I like to get a second opinion because I know they're practicing medicine as best they can, and it's a difficult disease to diagnose. And so I went to see another specialist, and they told me something a little different. And then I saw another, and he told me. So now I'm on my third specialist, and they're telling me different. That's why I ended up at the Mayo Clinic, because I was like, well, surely, you know, they're apparently supposed to be one of the top in their field. And so at the end of the day, I had four specialists tell me four distinct things, but there was some overlap. So at that point, you know, I just was at a loss, because the first doctor wanted to immediately treat me with some medicine to get me on, because his mom had died from MS, and so he didn't want to play games. He didn't want to waste any time.
Yeah.
You know, so he was well-meaning. The next one said, let's just wait and see how things progress. The third one had some conflicting advice and wanted to run some other tests, another disease called NMO. And then finally at the Mayo Clinic, they were like, man, here's clearly what we see right now, and here's what all your blood work and labs are leading us to believe. And so once I had that, I knew there was one treatment that was safe, and that was basically reducing inflammation in my body. So I got on a Solmedrol IV for a week. It basically reduced the inflammation where I could start to feel my legs again, which I was grateful for.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they did not taper me off of that with an oral steroid. I don't know why. Maybe it just wasn't a standard operating procedure. I have no idea. So my body went from zero steroids to getting an IV pumped in me for a week, reduced the inflammation, but my immune system was shot. And then I got sick because it was around February or something like that. You know, there's a flu or cold. And I mean, I was miserable for almost 10, 11 days. I just laid on the couch in pain and cold sweat.
Sounds so familiar. My goodness.
And then get this, the numbness in my legs came back. So then I went back and they said, we're going to have to do it again, but this time we'll taper you off. And at that point I was mad, you know, that we were having to repeat this mess. And so I swore to myself after that that I would exhaust every holistic option available to me. Because don't get me wrong, the Solmedrol worked. It got rid of the inflammation once I got on the month-long oral taper.
Right.
You know, my system came back. Everything worked. So I am so grateful for the advances of technology that we have. But I also understand it's a business, and there's a side to it where it's just people want a pill, they want a solution, and they just – anyways, for me, I had a complete opposite reaction. I had four specialists tell me different things. I had, you know, a treatment that only exacerbated my issues, finally got around to finding something that worked. And I said, before I get on any more medicines with all these adverse side effects, I'm going to exhaust every holistic option I can. And so that began my journey to health through a lot of different factors. And if time permits in our interview, I can share some of those with you. But by God's grace, I went in and got a checkup last year. So this would be like eight years out. And they said, you're a walking miracle. I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. This would be the fifth specialist. He said, I too would have diagnosed you with MS based on all these factors. I don't know how you're doing it, but keep doing it. And I told him a few of the things, he said, listen, it's going to be hard for us ever to get a case study to prove that any of the things that you're saying work, but it's working for you. So keep doing them. And I said, you got it, pal. No problem.
Yeah, that's amazing. So expand that a little bit. There's a lot of different holistic approaches. Has one of those aspects to that been your diet? Have you changed that?
Oh yeah. 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 I let food be thy medicine. Didn't somebody say that at some point?
They had to have. If not, you just said it.
One of those ancient Greek philosophers. So yeah, it's true. I think let food be thy medicine is huge. And my journey began interesting with CrossFit. So I got involved into CrossFit right around my diagnosis. That's where I'd started getting into fitness again. The paleo diet was real popular at that point. So I was eating, you know, pretty healthy in terms of paleo. And none of my issues were exacerbated through that. More recently, I've gotten into intermittent fasting,
yeah,
with basically an autoimmune diet. And you know, you can look up autoimmune diet. I mean, Harvard has some pretty clear journals on it. You know, there's a variety of opinions. You know, apparently science is not all that scientific, because depending on what nutritionist you talk to, if food is good or bad for you based on science.
Right.
But in the end, what I found, some principles within nutrition that were good for me. Number one was just I think the way God designed our bodies is to really eat food that isn't heavily processed and for the most part doesn't need a label. And so for me, that looks like a lot of veggies and fruits, nuts, seeds, and some lean meats. But I avoid like the plague, added sugars, any additives or preservatives I just don't like. I avoid fried foods because of just what it does to the molecular structure of the food. I also avoid dairy, not because dairy is necessarily bad. It just it can be one of those foods like peanuts that and soy that just has a lot of allergens to them. And because, right. You know, a lot of these foods today, like corn and soy, are genetically modified. It's just either the food's different or our bodies are different, but something's just not jiving. And then the last thing that I do is I when I go to the grocery store, I stick to the perimeter of the store. Rarely do I ever go down the aisles.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy.
That's been simple, stupid for me, which is what I need. I need something that's sustainable.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm the same way. And I think finding something that is simple and sustainable, I think that's the key to long-term success with a diet like that.
Anyways, I weighed in the other day at my all-time lightest, probably in 10, 15, 20 years. So I've also stayed really light, which has been good just on a side note for my joints and everything because I can remain active. I think the intermittent fasting with this autoimmune combination, it's not easy. And by the way, you know, this is something else I think you and I can connect on being fathers. In the end, I had one of my friends who got diagnosed with MS about the same time I did, and she ended up just getting on medicine immediately. And she just told me, she's like, I'd rather eat cupcakes. And for me, I just had a very different approach. I was like, I'll never eat another cupcake in my life if it's going to cause any sort of issues with my immune system again. And so for me, you know, when it comes down to looking better naked or taking care of my kids, the ice cream will win if I'm just motivated by, you know, looking better naked. If I'm motivated to be there for my kids and to care for them and to be the best husband I can be and just to be the very best version of myself so I can do whatever it is God's put me on this earth to do, then that sort of motivation helps me say no to a lot of the foods I naturally crave. And I found a lot of my life is positively impacted by the discipline that it's taken to sustain a diet that I think it leads to optimal nutrition for our bodies. And listen, I'm 8 years out, right? Going on nine. I'm no walking case study that what I'm doing is going to work or be guaranteed to solve anyone's problems. But it has sustained me in a place of optimal health and given me more time and really given me greater opportunities than I ever would have imagined. So I'm going to continue down this path of saying no to a lot of good things so I can say yes to a greater thing. And I think for diet and nutrition, you've got to find that. You got to find your why and you got to dig deep for it. For me, it's my family.
That's amazing. Just really inspiring. So let's dig in a little bit to the Beastmaster experience a bit more. What was at what point did you say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do? What was the training like for all of that? And can you tell us some of your fondest memories or one of the biggest takeaways from that whole thing?
Yes. Okay. Well, I got to tell you, number one, Ultimate Beastmaster was just an amazing competition. They did such an incredible job. I had applied to American Ninja Warrior for maybe 3 years. I had starting to get out of CrossFit a little bit. I was just trying to do something that wasn't so hard on my spine. And I was getting older too. And I just, no matter how much I tried to compete, you know, in the CrossFit games, the 20 somethings, you can look at the statistics. The 20 something year olds are just hard to beat because they're so strong.
Yeah.
And so in the cardio and the calisthenics stuff, I can compete with anybody. When it came down to snatching, you know, 200 plus pounds over my head, I just, you know, it wasn't good for me anymore. And again, I played college football, so I'd just been lifting so heavy for so long, and my back was just like, you're done, pal, you're done. And it took me a few times of herniating my disc to get it, but I finally got it. So that led me to, what can I compete in? And American Ninja Warrior was amazing because some buddies had said, Dre, you should check it out. All of a sudden, I started to see it on TV. I was like, man, this looks amazing. And I found some local competitions. And so I started training and I started winning and I was like, this is awesome. And so then I started traveling around the country, competing at some of the highest levels, doing very well, you know, against some of these top ninjas that we'd see on TV around the country. And so I kept applying, and for whatever reason, NBC just wouldn't pick me up. I don't know what it was. And that led to Netflix saying, hey, actually, we think you'd be a great contestant. And the reason, one of the reasons they picked me is because I hadn't been picked up by NBC. So it's amazing. You know, I'll just say for any of your listeners, there's sometimes in your life, things just don't work out. And, you know, if you just keep pressing on, you'll be amazed at how those stumbling blocks become stepping stones in your life.
That's certainly awesome.
It was, man. I couldn't believe it. I look back and it was one of my greatest lessons because I was so disappointed 3 years in a row getting turned down by NBC or just not even a call. And then all of a sudden Netflix picks me up. And Netflix was amazing because it was such a greater opportunity in so many ways because it's there. It's permanent. It's global. I mean, I compete against 9 different countries. They can create this like Olympic village. And when so much in our world was dividing us, this show was doing everything it could to unite us around fitness and sport and really uniting the world in so many ways. And it was just incredible to be a part of such a positive environment. I really respected Netflix for producing that and coming out with it. And I hope they'll keep producing it because it really was a great show. I'm also hoping that they'll do an all-star season so they'll give me a call back.
There you go.
But anyways, it was a great show and I loved it, man.
That's so awesome. When I actually got to watch the episodes that you were in, when it takes you into your story, you talk about during your diagnosis journey that you can accredit a lot of maybe the factors leading up to your diagnosis to just the amount of the immense stress that you were putting your body under. And I can relate to you in many ways with your account because you said you were working full time while also doing school full time. And that's something that I did for about 4 years straight. I actually I finished my master's degree while I was in Afghanistan on a deployment as a contractor working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week. So like you, I think that stress is a huge underlying factor in not only the development of this disease, but also just the maintenance of it as well. So what sort of strategies do you utilize now to help mitigate stress factors in your life?
Man, what a great question. Number one, thank you for your service, Stephen. Really appreciate all you've done and sacrificed to provide the lifestyle that so many of us have in the U.S.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. It's my pleasure.
And your kids and wife are fortunate to have a husband who works so hard. When so many men are passive and not stepping up, it's an inspiration to talk to a guy like you who's really on the front lines fighting the good fight, man. Nothing but respect to you. So question about stress. Stress is terrible in so many ways. I think, you know, what is it, flight or fright? I don't know which it is. Well, no, flight or fight.
There you go.
That's what we should do when we face stress. We should either fight it, just head on, go for it, or run. And either way, you're going to get some good exercise to reduce that cortisol and everything else that's released in your body. The problem is we don't. We have sedentary lifestyles, and those toxins just take its toll on our body. And for me, it was working full time. It was starting a family. It was dealing with just the stresses that life threw your way. And, you know, it was like a perfect storm forming in terms of my health, going to school, trying to provide great opportunities for myself and my family, and then also trying to provide for a growing family that, you know, I just didn't know my limits. And that's one of my greatest gifts as a competitor is that I press on and I push through. But there's a fine line between injury and pain. And if you can't distinguish between it, you'll ultimately hurt yourself pretty bad. And I think that's what I was doing. And so after I got done with literally 100-hour work weeks between study and work and then trying to care for my young family, I was not caring for myself. I was not sleeping. I was not eating. I was not eating well. I was not working out. I was just stressed, man.
Yeah, it'll take a toll on your body for sure. It will take a toll.
It does, and you become a robot, man. It's so sad. And I see all my buddies that I play college football with. These guys were studs. And man, some of them are carrying, it looks like almost 100 pounds. And it's because they got to provide for their families. Well, what they're not providing is a good role model and the best version of themselves. They're so stressed out. Their wives and kids probably don't want to be around them. So
yeah, it's sad.
I want to challenge any of your leaders they got them. Jesus said it like this. You need to love others like you love yourself. And most people just, you know, love themselves or they love others. The people that love themselves are pretty narcissistic and people you don't want to be around. The people that just love others are the people that you love to death because they just sacrifice so much and they do that. And so I know a lot of these dads and moms too are just sacrificing so much. But the problem is they're not offering the best version of themselves. And so when you love others the way you love yourself implies, you need to love yourself well too. And that's kind of why, I guess, why on the airplanes they say grab the mask, put it on first, and then take care of your kids. So that goes for every aspect of our life. So when I realized that my poor choices, no matter how noble they were, was adversely affecting my health and therefore my ability to provide long term, spiritually, financially, relationally for my family, I knew I needed to make some changes. And the irony is, I mean, this is a crazy irony, that by actually limiting the amount of hours I worked and taking care of myself, I was actually more productive in my career.
Imagine
which is
that,
crazy.
Right?
You got it. So all that to say, I think you got to handle stress. So some of the things I do to handle stress, well, one, I was very fortunate. I mean, this will sound crazy to you. I mean, I'm throw a wild card out at you. But I think one of the best ways to handle stress is just good old sunshine in the outdoors. And so one of the best things that happened to me in my career was I was given an opportunity to come down here to sunny South Florida. And from what I can tell, the studies on autoimmune disease, where you have people that are closer to the equator, there's right. less cases of MS. Maybe that's because they don't have as good of doctors near the equator. I don't know, or cases reported. Maybe it's because sunshine positively impacts us. But for me, I would say the sunshine here has just been awesome. I get good vitamin D every day. I probably need to worry about skin cancer more than anything. but it's been a blessing. I'm able to be outside with my family. I go on evening walks now with my wife to kind of just debrief with her to catch up, and we actually end the day with prayer. And you know, these things have helped me so much. I went to a LifeWork leadership conference that National Christian Foundation puts on for some top influencers around the country. The most popular seminar there, based on attendance and the line of people to interview the speaker, was about breathing and sleeping.
Wow.
and how important those things are, those basic things are, to just being a high capacity, well functioning person. And so I've tried to do things like breathe, you know, take time throughout the day. My Apple Watch actually reminds me to breathe, which I used to laugh at, but now actually I do diaphragm breathing. You know, that's good for your brain in so many ways. Sleep, I try and get at least 7 to 8 hours. People say, how do you do that? I say, well, if you're disciplined, you can find the time to do it. You just do your best and give everything to God and then rest, you know? That's what you got to do. And then I enjoy being outside in the sunshine. And these things have been tremendous factors in my stress. And I'll just talk, you know, any of your listeners that kind of have a spiritual bent to them, I would just say in my faith as a Christian, starting my day in the Word of God has been immensely helpful. It just kind of sets the tone for my day. It lifts my eyes from my worries to a greater reality. And I come across passages in the Bible that have stood the test of time, like Philippians, I think it's 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so I've literally tried to do this. I'm like, God, today I'm upset and concerned about this, and I just give it to you. You're God, I'm not. Help me to trust and obey, to do my part, but in the end, know that the battle is yours. And man, I tell you, it's working.
Man.
It's working. Because my blood pressure's come down.
Yeah, it's, you know, that just sets my motivation on fire. So I really appreciate you sharing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll hope that I got the scripture reference on that. In case somebody...
Well, I want to turn the conversation now to something that I don't do this often, but I feel like you might be able to relate to this a lot on many levels, and it's something that I struggle with personally. So I'd love to get your insights. I've only had MS since 2018, so we're not even at 2 years yet. And while I've had some significant issues with my vision, the blurry vision, the gait, barely being able to walk, my balance falling over, and my bowels wetting the bed, and even almost failing to get to the toilet in time for a number two, I'm still pushing and pursuing some really lofty fitness goals with my MS. I mean, I'm slated to do an Ironman in September of this year. It's just 6 months away. There have been a few instances where I've been confronted by others who usually say things that maybe that go along the lines of challenging the severity and maybe even the significance of my diagnosis. The questions like, does he even have MS, or he shouldn't be able to do the things he's doing if he really had the disease, or it must be nice having MS quote unquote light. You know, after seeing how successful you've been in spite of MS, have you ever been confronted with similar challenges, and how do you push through those negative dialogues and noises that are surrounding you?
I'm sure that people have probably said similar things about me, but you know, in the end, I I just try and remember, I ultimately have an audience of one. And for me, again, as I'm sorry, I'll bring my faith back into this, but honestly, it's the only way I know how to answer your question. When the skeptics start speaking out, or even when doubts start creeping in my heart, no matter what it is I'm facing, I just have to remind myself I have an audience of one. Ultimately, I'm going to stand before the good Lord and have to give an account to Him what I did with my life. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay if I don't have a lot of friends and the world doesn't accept me or like me. Jesus said if they didn't accept me, because remember, He ended up on the cross, if they didn't accept me, don't expect them to accept you. And He was in reference to the world at that. So I've learned not to look to the world for my values, my identity, instead to the one who created me and named me. And I found a lot of freedom in that. And I hope you will too. And I hope that you'll keep pressing on no matter what the skeptics say, because the daunting reality of MS, it being a time bomb inside each one of us, if anything, it should cause us to number our days. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, Psalm 90, I think it's verse 11, and it says, "Lord, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom." And it's interesting, the book of Proverbs says that wisdom, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs 9:10. And so for me, once I learned to fear God, there was no one else to fear, including myself or MS.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Never thought of it that way. Well, going into the time bomb aspect that you just brought up, anyone living with MS, they know that this disease, it can take a turn for the worse at any moment, right? How do you cope with that unpredictability of MS? You sort of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like you, brother, every day is a gift. I try not to take it for granted. And, you know, I coach a flag football team and at the local youth center in my community. And last year I had a young man on my team, and he was healthy and strong. He was actually my second round pick, so a really capable young man. Anyways, last summer he had some pain in his head, was getting dizzy, and started feeling very nauseous and throwing up. So his mom rushed him to the ER. And anyways, they found a massive tumor in his brain.
Oh, wow.
So he had emergency brain surgery. And he is at a special hospital in Chicago right now as we speak, learning how to walk again and speak again and write his name. You know, this is a young man who should be 12 years old, 12 years young, learning, growing, playing. He's an incredible athlete. Now he's learning to walk, write, and read again. It's unbelievable. So this season, we dedicated our season to Gus. And Gus was an inspiration for us in so many ways, because unfortunately, we did not win every game. But in spite of that, it pointed us to a greater reality that even in the loss, there is victory. Because I know Gus, he would want us to not just focus on the win, but on the fact that we could actually play, and what a gift normal was. And so I think whether it's Gus and just his struggles to overcome right now, and my desire to see him overcome, or to my own insecurities of what could happen if I get another relapse of MS in my life, where's that going to lead? You know, the reality is that none of us know what tomorrow holds. All we have is today. It's a gift. That's why it's called the present. So we need to invest it wisely. And I think when we have these greater realities in mind, rather than just winning or making as much money as I can, or, you know, accomplishing whatever temporal goal that's going to come and pass, but actually have a greater reality in mind, that it gives us perspective, it gives us hope, and it should motivate us in the right ways. And those things have all helped me immensely in terms of investing my life and not just spending it.
Yeah, it's all about living in the present, just like you said, and really focusing on what we can control and making the most of every moment. I really believe in that.
Yes, Stephen. Yeah, preach that, man. That's a good message.
Absolutely.
No victims here, man. No victims here. I love it.
That's our mindset. I mean, our mission at the MS Fitness Challenge is to show people the benefits that fitness, nutrition, and mindset can have on this disease. And your life, it's a living testament to that mission. What does your typical training regimen look like right now? And do you believe your fitness activity has a lot to do with how well you're currently managing this disease?
100%. There's no question in my mind that fitness has a positive role. It's helped me maintain a healthy weight. It's helped me reduce stress. I have a better body image. It's given me my health to do whatever God's created me to do. I've been able to face challenges and overcome when I push myself in my workouts, and all of a sudden I set a PR. Like the other day, you know, I'm pushing 40 here, and I set a PR in the pool the other day. I was swimming 600 meters. So for you as a triathlete, you know, that'd be a sprint triathlon swim.
Right.
And I think I came in sub 820. So for me, that was like the fastest I've ever gone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Here I am pushing 40, and I just set a PR. So you better believe that day I was motivated. Like when I to work, whatever I faced, you know, it's like I had a $1 million check in my pocket, because I realized, man, the best is still yet to come. It's going to be different, but the best is still yet to come. And I believe that, and fitness in every way has helped me realize that.
That's amazing. The best is yet to come. I think that's something. If we just say that to ourselves every day, it'll get us through any challenge. So I got one last question then for you, James. What would be your message for those with MS and maybe they're struggling to make positive progress with this disease, or they're struggling to have the right attitude? They're just, you know, they're just cast down. What gives you a hope for a better tomorrow?
Yeah, man, Steven, this is probably the very heart of everyone fighting MS, is really finding that why. I recently heard a fascinating study about survivors in the Korean War and in the Vietnam War. What was interesting, in all the POWs, they were able to overcome just immense suffering and torture. It usually led back to some sort of belief in God. And the reason I say that is because for me, my belief in God gives me hope that this life is a shadow of what's to come. It is preparing me for what's ahead. There's a lot of good, that there's a lot of bad too. And so whatever may come, if I really live my life in light of eternity, it helps me make better sense of my current realities. And so for anybody that's facing challenges in their life, my encouragement would be to keep pressing on. And for those that are maybe open to exploring God or consider they have a personal relationship with God, I think scripture such as Psalm 138 verse 8 should be of great comfort to them, where it says, God's loving kindness will never fail you. He will accomplish the purposes that he has for your life. I believe that verse with all my heart. It's on my dresser. Every day I look at that. So knowing that whether I have my health or whether I don't have my health does not surprise God. He's going to use me in spite of me or through me for his glory and my good. And this helps me keep pressing on. So I hope other people can find that why and not give up. Because when they give up hope, when they give up pressing on, when they give up the diet, when they give up the nutrition, when they just give up, their days are numbered, and they're not going to live life to the fullest. They're not going to rise to their potential. And I just want them to know that God has something better for them. He didn't make a mistake when he put them here on this earth. And I don't necessarily believe that he gave them MS, but I do know that because of the cross, especially, that God can take evil and use it for good. And that is my prayer for anybody with MS.
Wow, James. I mean, to our listeners, if you've come away with anything after today's conversation, I hope that you've been motivated like I have been. I just want to thank you so much, James, for taking the time to share your story and your passion for fitness and your faith on this podcast. As I've hinted to previously, you've been a huge source of inspiration to me in my fitness pursuits and in a lot of other aspects of my life, especially after talking to you today. Your faith in God and your fervor for helping others, it's infectious, and I have no doubts that it's making a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. So keep doing what you're doing and keep fighting that good fight, brother. With that, do you have any closing comments for the audience?
Well, I tell you, I am a big fan of yours now, hearing your story, and I've been looking more into MS Fitness Challenge, and it looks amazing. So I want your listeners to know, and certainly all the people that are reaching out to me on social media, this is going to be a go-to resource that I send people to. The website itself looks absolutely amazing. So thank you for all that you're doing to help people fight the good fight and keep pressing on, and know that I'm standing with you and behind you and believe in this mission. So keep up the good work, Stephen.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have your support here at the MS Fitness Challenge, James. So that's going to do it for this week. Stay tuned for next week's edition, where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing Claudia Longo. She's a soccer player for the University of Washington's women's team. You'll get to learn how she's been able to continue competing and finding success in spite of her recent MS diagnosis. Do I even need to say it, guys? You're not going to want to miss it. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast, or wherever you find your podcasts. A great way you can help support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out MSFitnessChallenge.com, check out the upcoming training camp in Los Angeles, and dig into all the great resources we have for you. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and get plugged into the MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to be integrated to a motivated cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.